This is Papa Smurf. You're listening to Our Lifestyle, the podcast with ODB and the Mayor.
Yo, it's Our Lifestyle, the podcast, coming at you live and direct. Episode 65 in full effect. Got Airhead Nation, of course, listening in. We appreciate y'all. But first, we got Miggity Mike, the mayor, in the house. What's going down, my man?
What's going on, J-O-D-B? Dude, just living the dream over here in Southwest, wet Southwest Florida. Dude, it has not stopped raining, man. It's like nonstop, dude. What are we like on day four or five consecutive days of just rain? You know, what's that saying? Rain, go away, come back another day.
Yeah.
Well, dude, we were just talking about how we weren't getting no rain. Well, damn it. Now we've gotten plenty of it.
Man, every year up until this time, I'm like, there's no way my dormant ass grass is coming back. And sure enough, dude, May showers bring something. I don't know. I don't even know what the saying is. But seriously, my grass is like coming back. I mean, it's like, don't call it a comeback. My grass has been here for years, man.
Oh, it definitely is coming back. And my lake in the backyard is definitely nice and full. So that's for damn sure.
Yeah, man. That's what's going down. I thought it was the Sunshine State. But luckily, Mike, last week we were out at Made of Steel, and it did hold off. The weather reports I saw were talking about 1 o'clock it was going to come unglued. We went over to the local barbecue joint, and sure enough, man, that place got shut down because, man, it was raining like crazy.
Yes, it was absolutely monsooning to the point where I think we sat there for about an hour and just waiting for it to slow down enough to where we could get out there and getting that Durango.
Yeah, man. We were hanging out with the homie, 50 Shades of Laid, Brent Hudgens. But luckily, they had them $2 PBRs, and Mrs. Mayor and I know Mike had one in them. You had the Bud Light, though, and we were getting a little squirrely there. But luckily, we had 50 Shades of Laid. You know, he was driving for us. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, because, man, that was not no damn little Bud Light. That damn was like that one of those big old
24 ounces.
Yeah, dude, that thing was huge.
Something. Yeah, it may have been like a 25. Sometimes you can get them 25 ounces, you know what I mean?
Hell yeah. But I tell you what, man, we had a good time over there at Made of Steel. You know, props to Goat and Tank. They did a great job. And it was a good turnout this year. Definitely better than what it was the year before. So let's just hope that it continues to grow. And you know, we have another good show here in Florida.
Yes. Yeah, I would definitely agree. I had a great time. We always hear this. It's not just about the cars. It's about the people, not just the vehicles. What I will say is when we pulled up, Mike, you and I got there, ironically, at about the same time. There were, you know, a lot of different clubs representing. I think, you know, there's more clubs that could come out. You know, there's oftentimes people that say, there's not enough shows and this and that. Well, you got to support the shows that are there to kind of grow the scene. I totally understand, though. A lot of folks were out at the show a couple weeks ago. So, you know, you got to balance things. There's people that are getting ready for Scraping the Coast. So totally get it. I believe that the stereo side of the house was, you know, a blockbuster, which is great. It was good seeing, you know, some of your fellow clubmates out there. I saw T.C. Coleman's, one of my favorite trucks. If you're following my C30 Addict, I love posting hashtag one ton rat. I sometimes put one bad ton, but, you know, TC always reminds me, man, that's my Instagram name. That's not the truck. It was going to be one ton rat. So we saw that. And then we saw Rich's 62 Impala. Love, love, love this car. If you haven't checked the video on Our Lifestyle Podcast Instagram, make sure you do. I even did a little flip through of his album. and in a year, Rich redid the car, and for 3 months he was in a sling with one arm, and he was like, Jay, if it took me 8 hours to run a wire, he goes, I did, bro. He goes, I could not stop. And I go, dude, mad props. Love the car, man.
Right there in his damn garage, man. I mean, this guy, he is something else. That's for damn sure. In his two-car garage, he built that damn thing. Painted, bodywork, you name it. He did everything from top to bottom.
Yeah, and he tore his rotator cuff, I think he said, just over time. Yep. It wasn't one particular accident. And, you know, he got that surgery and he was back in the game, huh, Mike?
Absolutely. And he killed it, man. He did a great job.
Yeah, and you know, Mike and I will always say this. I'll say this. If you look on Instagram under Mini Madness CC, which is Mini Madness Car Club, I started that hashtag because I wanted to give props to the awesome club that Mike is a part of. A lot of good guys and chicks in that club, and I always love chopping it up. And one of those guys is Daniel Smith. We just had him on. He was out there, got a chance to slap hands, really kind of talk about some of the other projects that he couldn't mention on the podcast. You know, he was talking with showgoers about bringing in some new builds. But Daniel Smith's a good guy. He's just one of many in your awesome club, Mike.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We got some good guys. We got some guys that have been around for a long time. And, you know, that's like I try to tell people all the time about, you know, Slamfest and our judges, man. Our judges, they know exactly what they're looking for, man, because they build their own shit and they paint their own shit and they do the body work and interior and motor. And, dude, they know what they're looking for. They know what they're doing. Not saying they're always right, but they know what the hell they're doing. That's for damn sure.
Hell, for those scoring at home, you can't forget you got a guy named Kevin in your club. For God's sake, he built a hubless hubless bicycle. I think one wheel's hubless. I was like, I mean, if he's crazy enough to engineer that, I mean, hell, these guys can do anything. So, but the other thing I wanted to mention, Mike, is if you're in our Facebook, Our Lifestyle Podcast, Airhead Nation group, you would have seen this week that we are offering merchandise. It's a fresh new sticker from iCandy Designs. The homie RJ there printed those up. Mike worked that deal. And then we had the keychains that Mike was able to commission. It's going to be $10 for the new sticker and the keychain shipped. I'll be shipping those on Wednesday each week. And I know we did get a couple orders that came through. That goes a long way because we're going to keep stacking our chips to bring you guys even more stuff here in the near future. So we've got other merchandise, as we mentioned on episode 64. That's going to be coming. We're kind of finalizing some more details, as we mentioned. I'm super excited, Mike, about the second half of 2018 that we're almost rolling into here.
Hell yeah, because I tell you what, and this is no lie, guys, and I know we talked about it and we talked about it and talked about it, but we will have merchandise at Scraping the Coast. We absolutely promise. Talking shirts, talking hats, stickers, and keychains. And we got a little something else coming up too, but we're not going to talk about that one yet.
You know it. So always good stuff. Now, on this episode, we actually, I'm going to give, we don't always give a little insight into the next episode, but we have a couple guests, so we're going to see how this works out. We have Jamie Starling, and he is from Australia, and his late brother, Lori Starling, tragically passed away. Many of you in the truck scene know the name Lori Starling. There's an entire story behind that, but, you know, Jamie had reached out to us not too long ago on Facebook and had thanked us for bringing up and mentioning his brother, and it really kind of gave me chills, man. And it's amazing that we can transcend, you know, not only different generations that listen. I mentioned John Mackey recently passing away, and you know, Roro and Mini Madness recently told me that his ex-wife and his son of 14 years old listened to that section of the podcast, and they were kind of moved by it. But man, dude, that's what it's about, and you know, for Jamie to be in Australia and listen after Toasty was on, and he said, dude, I've been backtracking and going through and listening to these, and thank you guys. Dude, it means a lot. So, you know, we've got him in the mix. That'll either be on this episode or 66. And then we've got Brian Morris. I think I mentioned him recently when Tony Boss Bolin had a parts car shipped down from Connecticut. He's on Instagram at Hauntrod, HauntRod. And he's from the Northeast. If you look up, I think it's the hashtag jailbus, you'll see that famous bus that he laid out. He's constantly posting photos, finding some old, crazy, rusty, you know, forgotten about vehicles, and he's laying them out like crazy. So he's a really, really cool guest that we're going to have on as well. So we'll kind of see how it works out based upon another interview that we need to finish, another segment. So, you know, that's what we got in store for 65 and 66, Miggity Mike.
Hell yeah, brother. And another thing that I wanted to mention is the fact of the new people that are listening to the podcast and reaching out and posting it up on social media, and the amount of people that have never heard of podcasts or don't know how to get a podcast or how to download it or where they find podcasts. Well, what we're going to do is Jay is going to make another video on how to find our podcast, how to download a podcast, and not just our podcast, but other podcasts that we like and we listen to and that are OLP approved that we want to share with the Airhead Nation.
You know it, Mike, and that's what it's about. It's about sharing that knowledge of, hey, how to get to it. You know, many of you that are listening are scratching your head going, hey, I know how to listen. But when we can post out there, let's say, you know, I post a video and it says, hey, if you've got an iPhone, go here. If you've got Android, go here. Well, you can click the little, I guess, like mail-looking icon on there, and you can, like, share it to your – I forget if you can share it to stories now, but I know that you can share it to, like, your buddies. So you go click, 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 and then send it to them, the chicas, the homegirls. You know, send it away so that they can check it out, and they're like, oh, snap, it's that easy. So listen, we know not everybody can spend a lot of time on their phone at their jobs and stuff, but we're going to try to make it easy for you to share with other people that, boom, it's that easy to find a podcast that really, man, can bring a lot of joy to your day.
That's what I'm talking about, brother. And I tell you what, I get so excited every time that I see, you know, Jason Ballard and Mike Murray tagged, and Our Lifestyle, the podcast, has talked about, and how you guys are really enjoying the podcast and what we're doing. Because, guys, this is what we're doing it for. We're doing it for you guys, and we're doing it for the scene. And because we love doing it, man. This is what we do. It's in our blood, baby.
Yes, sir. And if I had a nickel for however many times that people have been like, they'll send a message on Instagram or the recent, and I know I'm not on Facebook as much as I used to be. You know, I had to detox a little bit. But I'm looking here at, it looks like Cheryl Panzar, I think I'm saying it right. You know, Cheryl said that, you know, quick shout out to Steve Lang, Hydroholics, for dropping my name on Our Lifestyle regarding my conversion, or excuse me, her conversation with Matt Thompson. You know, and she, I mean, posted it on Instagram, which links to her Facebook, and boom, you know, she has numerous comments on here, and just, I mean, so many kind words, and, you know, that's just one example. But that really goes a long way, because, you know, there'll be some other OGs that'll see that and they're like, now wait, now what is this? What the fuck's a podcast? And then biggity boom, social media, we're blowing up. So, you know, we don't do it for the money. There's not really money in podcasting, you know, as far as what we're doing now. We do it because we love to do it. And if we can make a little bit of coin to further what we're doing, to pay for the podcast and kind of make a little bit more to bring shirts and things like that. That's what it's about. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah, Jay. But you know what? At the end of the day, I don't even care about the money. But at the same time, for as much time and effort that we do put into this, ain't nobody going to be mad if we're making some damn money, brother.
Yes, sir. That's what I'm talking about. Well, when we think of the scene updates, the new Truck and Mag came yesterday. I actually, and Mike, this is going to be something that I don't think I shared with you. You may have saw it last night. I did have to go on Facebook to post. My homie, who always gets them sneak preview tickets, calls me after work and says, listen, man, I know that you're usually out on Mondays as far as, you know, you got to get home, get your son, everything. But I got an extra ticket to Han Solo movie, right? Solo. And it comes out this Friday. And I was like, dude, this worked out. My mother-in-law picked up Preston early. Maddie is, you know, she's going to pick him up from mom-in-law's house. I was like, I am there. So went and saw the movie. Fantastic. The Solo movie. I know some purists out there are going to be like, oh, you know, I don't like it, whatever. Ron Howard directed it. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Not a huge Star Wars fan. I don't know all the ins and outs, but it was great. Now, I say that because when I got home about 10 o'clock last night, look over, boom, wife had got the mail, and there was the new Truck and Mag, August 2018. The cover is epic. I think it's got a C10 with a utility bed on it, and the truck is really cool. I saw it at SEMA a couple years ago, and really, really good subscription cover there. So I'm stoked about that, Mike.
Hell yeah. Always want to support, you know, and there's actually a good post going on. Where Are They Now? I believe was the group. And the guy was asking if Mini Truck and Magazine would ever come back. And I thought one of the best questions somebody asked in there was, I think this is all great that all you guys are commenting on this, but how many of you guys in here actually even had a subscription to Mini Truck and Magazine when it was out? And I was like, man, that's a good question, because I'm curious to know how many people actually had a subscription to Mini Truck and Magazine when it was out, when it was still on the newsstands, and when it was struggling, and everybody knew it was struggling. You know, who was out there actually supporting Mini Truck and Magazine?
Yes, but, and a lot of that goes to, like, who was buying from the advertisers and things, which is also an important piece.
Oh, absolutely. And but you know what? Guess what, guys? Mini Truck and Magazine's not coming back, I'm more than pretty sure. But that's okay, because now we have All Time Low Magazine, and they're here, and Rich and Beth do a killer-ass job, and they're here to stay, baby. So support the real, as Jay would say, and hit up ATL. magazine.com and get yourself a subscription. Tell them OLP sent you.
You know it, Miggity Mike, my man, right here. Now, I did want to also say that if you look on Instagram, it's River City Rods and Fab, or River City Rods and Fabrication, but it's River City Rods, and then it's IA, because they're in Iowa. That is the shop that built the Goldie box, which is on the cover. So I did want to throw that out there. What was cool is when I posted it late last night, I was a little, you know, tired getting home, and I didn't tag them. But I did tag, you know, and this is what I love doing with Instagram. I tagged Truck and Magazine, SoCal Customs, because Brian did the write-up from SoCal Customs. You had Not Stock Photo, which is the homie John Jackson, 25,000 followers, amazing low light photos that he shot. But then John Jackson went and he tagged River City Rods and Fab. I said, way to go. So I was able to kind of add them to the comments. Great, great business there. Really kind of came out of the woodworks with some really sick rides the past few years. And I do want to get them on. I've chopped it up with them a little bit on Instagram, and we will have them on here in the near future. So definitely congratulations on a really, truly badass C10, a little different with the utility bed, and a super, super sick cover shot by the homie John Jackson.
Hell yeah. And you know what I love about it is, you already said it, is the fact that it's different from all those other C10s, and it's got that damn different, the bed on the back of it, and it doesn't look like every other damn C10 out there. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, dude. It's always good to think differently, so... You know, good shit, Mike. And one thing I wanted to also hit upon is the shows. And we talked about these last time. We did. We hit the lowdown a little late last time. We're going to start off with that, because I think if I look at my calendar, that's the next one up for a lot of the folks in the Southeast. They're going to be heading over there, right, Mike?
Yes, sir. And our friends Tim and Tanya over at Sparkles Detail got the lowdown at Homestead Hollow. It's the Crawfish Boil and Car Show. It's going to be June 8th and June 9th. So make sure you guys check them out. Go to the event page. Type in lowdown at Homestead Hollow. It'll pop up. And it's their second annual lowdown. And it's right there in good old Alabama. And, you know, just let them know that OLP sent you, baby. June 8th and June 9th.
Hells yeah. And then if you go to Scraping thecoast.com, that's S-C-R-A-P-I-N, thecoast.com, you will see Bud Light presents Scraping the Coast June 22nd to the 24th of 2018. You actually got visitor info there, and you can also, you can also register right there on the page. You know, you just click here to download and print the form. You have to mail it. All sales are final, of course. And that's the homie over at Custom Car Show Productions. You can't go wrong. A pre-registration form must be filled out and sent in by June 1st, if I remember correctly. And that's important because that date's coming up very soon.
Hell yeah, it's right around the corner, brother. And you do not want to miss Scraping the Coast. And I think it's you know, it's tagged one of the hottest shows on the coast or whatever. But definitely good times, man. There's going to be a lot of surprises, and we got a lot more info coming here in the next couple episodes about Scraping the Coast. So definitely stay in. And don't forget about the giveaway that not only has OLP teamed up with All Time Low Magazine, but we've teamed up with Scraping the Coast and our girl Morgan. And congratulations to Morgan on her. Jay, I don't even know if we even mentioned that on the last podcast, but Morgan got a promotion, baby.
Oh, snap. See, I've been sleeping on Facebook, man. So I didn't even know about it. I'm going to be honest. So you're breaking the news to me. Uh-oh, what's going down?
Uh-oh. Morgan, our girl Morgan, congratulations. She now is the new, let's see, what is it? I think the exact title is marketing coordinator, I believe is what it is.
Uh-oh.
But she pretty much wears all kinds of different hats over there at Vire. And so, you know, hey, props to Vire for recognizing and giving her that promotion, because it's definitely well deserved. And, you know, so make sure you guys reach out to Morgan and congratulate her, because she deserves it. That's for damn sure.
Hells yeah. She was in the mafia. She'd be like, you know, having to went from a foot soldier to like a capo, you know, like a captain. So, you know, man, she's on her way to the crime syndicate boss. You know what I mean? I love it. I love it. No, but in all seriousness, Vire rocks, and Morgan is on point, as the whole team is there. They keep on hustling. I love seeing those laid out Lincolns, and boom, I zoom right in. And they're always rocking those Vire compressors. So they're always on point, like a fax. You know, I love it. But, Mike, the same weekend, for our friends that can't make it to Scraping the Coast, you definitely have another show in the Northeast. If you go to OCCarshow.com, you have information from East Coast Minis Shoreline Showdown, All Truck Show, June 24th, 2018. Super, super badass. We've got our logo on there. It is fantastic. I tell you, it is great to link up with people in the scene that respect what we're doing. We respect what they're doing. Cliff is real deal Holyfield. I see the truck right there sporting those billets, that crew cab Colorado. And what a great show. So if you're in the Northeast or for whatever reason you can't make Scraping, totally get it. We can't make every show either. You just zoom right on over, right on up to the Northeast area. But again, go to OCCarshow.com for more information. It's by East Coast Minis.
Hey, Jay, I got a question for you.
What's that?
Are you low enough?
Are you low enough? So All Time Low Magazine has a new shirt with a pre-order, and it was designed by the homie up in their region of the U.S. He's a good dude. He's a severed guy. Love the colors on it. You've got that nice kind of like greenish color with the purple. Are you low enough? Love the font that he always puts out. He's a real good dude, and he's working with a great company there. So it's $20 plus shipping. You really can't go wrong with All Time Low Magazine. If you go on Facebook and type in All Time Low Magazine, you'll actually land right in that page, and that's where it was shared, or go to atlmagazine.com.
Oh, yeah, because I know Airhead Nation, me and Jay have already put our order in, so make sure y'all do the same. Make sure y'all support. Come on, guys. Y'all got to support these guys, because that's what they're here for, just like OLP. They're here supporting the scene, so make sure we show them some support back.
Yes, and, you know, with that being said, please, everyone, you know, take a moment and go to hammeredaweekendwear.com. I think it's important to mention that, you know, in between episodes and whatnot, Ron did do a pre-order on some of the new shirts that he had. So here's the good deal, though. If you missed out on it, it's only went up $5. So you have the Force is Strong with this one, and that is NR_Carl. Love giving him a shout out. Love his S10. Love the wheels. Love everything on it. It's $20. So it went up $5. No big deal. But he also has the tow pigs. You know, I got to be ordering this one, Mike, because he's got the C30, and it is a real truck that's on that as well. I think it's Little J Lowrider on Instagram. I forget, I'll have to look, but Hammered Weekend Wear. Make sure you order those new shirts. You also have GOAT on there. And when we say GOAT, we're talking about the greatest of all time. Of course, he says, in their opinion, mini truck. And that is a Stranger. So very, very, very cool apparel. You definitely want to check out hammeredweekendwear.com. That's HAMMERD.com. Hammered.
Hell yeah.
That's how we do. So, Mike, one more show. We mentioned it last episode, Relaxing in the Northwest, The Awakening. And I do need to post this flyer. I didn't get a chance with the last episode. As I mentioned, this is in it's Oregon State Fairgrounds, which is in Salem, Oregon. And this is July 27th through the 29th. Really has an epic, it has epic artwork. And it's hosted by the homies over in relaxed atmosphere, as well as the women. So it's going to be a great show, and we're looking forward to seeing some show coverage from there.
Absolutely. And don't forget what this weekend is, Jay. We had our boy Aaron Combs on last episode talking about Dropped and Destroyed. And all you guys that are on your way to Dropped and Destroyed, y'all enjoy. Have a killer time, because I think OLP is going to make the trip and going to make it out there for next year. Can't wait.
Hells yeah. And I want to give another shout out to the homie Billet Fan. That's BILLETFAN on Instagram. The homie Matt Thompson has been coming live and direct with all these photos. If you follow our lifestyle podcast at C30 Addict and the Severed Ties main club page, which is, I think, Severed Ties_club, man, if I had more time in the day, I could post all the photos. No joke, Mike. He's probably sent me over 100 photos. That includes some coverage that we posted on our podcast page from Cruise to the Pines, Super 6 C10s and mini trucks, old school stuff he's been posting, and the dude has straight knowledge, man. We might have to get him and Chris Gaddy on to do like a Jeopardy-type deal. Alex, I'll take mini trucking for $500 and get those two guys to battle it out. And I don't know, Gaddy, Matt Thompson might wrestle you to the ground with the knowledge, dude. This guy is straight freaking coming after it. So he's a good dude. And I tell you what, Billet Fan, if you're not following him on Instagram, you are straight slipping.
What is Airhead Nation, Alex, for $500?
Oh, I'm telling you, we got to get it going, dude. And if you really want to get a good laugh sometime, go on YouTube and type in like Jeopardy rap question. And over the years, I don't know, there's like 10 or 15 different questions where Alex Trebek, you know, when he reads them, they are classic, dude. And he's got one, it's a Dr. Dre one where he's like,
"I'm." Yeah, three clues left up there, Mary.
It's a rap 1600.
In nothing but a G thing, this Dr. Rap never let me slip, because if I slip, then I'm slipping. Mary.
Who's Dr. Dre?
Yes.
But how he reads it, Mike, you know, the whitest white guy out there, I'm just like, that is awesome. It's some good stuff. But one more thing before we talk about sports real quick. Ice-T is one of these guys that transcends generations. He recently posted on his social media, which is, I think, Final Level is his Instagram name. You know, he talked about the renewal of the NBC show that he's on. But, man, Ice, I hope to be just such a badass when I get older, man, his age. I mean, he's somewhere in his 60s. He's still got, you know, his band Body Count going. He's making music. He's got his hot wife. You know, everything is good for him. And someone recently must have got under his skin, because he posted a comment. I forget if it was on Instagram or Twitter. And he said, some people were saying, I need to retire. And he goes, retire from what? Having fun? I'm just like, dude, this guy is out there making the kind of, he can say whatever he wants. I mean, he had one of the most controversial songs ever made that was pulled from his album back in the 90s, and he has just continued to do what he wants to do, and he's never changed. I mean, he's like the straight OG. So, you know, big ups to Ice-T, and man, he's still doing it, Mike.
Hell yeah, and he'd have to be still doing it. You mentioned his hot wife.
Coco.
About Coco for the win, baby.
Dude, I mean, hey, this guy, I mean, truly, he has just got it going on. And if you Google Ice and Coco, he's just straight G, man. He really is. And he's the original gangster in my book. You know what I mean?
There ain't no arguing there, brother.
So, Mike, as we round this one out, sports. So if I think back, I'm going to put you on the spot. Earlier, I don't know if it was earlier this year, maybe late last year, we were talking about LeBron a little bit, and I think you and I kind of got going because I'm like, yeah, man, and you kind of were saying, I think he's done, man. I cannot believe that he's fought back from down. I think it was 0-2 to the Celtics. I watched a little bit of the game. It is funny, though, Mike, how the talk continues. You know, now he's got the most points in playoff history, and he's played the most games, you know, blah, 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 blah. Hey, he's a good basketball player. I got nothing against him, but – when you start talking about the greatest of all time, I don't know, man. Last I checked, I want to say he's like 3-8 in finals. Like he's 1-3. No, he's 3-5, I think.
Well, Jay, at the end of the day, I don't know the exact what it exactly is, 3-5, you know, whatever it is. I don't know for sure, but I did see a statistic that he has the most 40-point games than any other basketball player ever. So that's pretty damn amazing. And if I'm not mistaken, they were down 0-2 in the series to Boston, and now they've come back and tied it 2-2. Am I correct?
Yeah, man, they have. And, you know, even the Warriors, they were up. I think they went 1-1, and then this last game they won by 41 points or some crazy stuff. But yeah, I think I had that wrong. I know that he's lost like a substantial more than he's won. And it's not to knock the guy. I mean, dude, the guy's got more money than I'll ever have. He's a superstar. He went straight from high school. I mean, he's got so much. But man, you go on Twitter and the same people, like some people don't get this. When ESPN tweets something out about LeBron, they could care less what people were saying about it. But when people engage with that post, they could say LeBron sucks, and the next guy comes in and goes LeBron's the best, and if they look at the engagement. So if that, you know, if it's seen by 100 million people and they had 100,000 comments and that beats every other post, they're gonna keep posting LeBron shit. So the people that hate LeBron, I tell them, hey, just keep scrolling. Who cares, you know? But I watched all Jordan's finals. I have a lot of the old clippings and that type of stuff. I really enjoyed it. Yeah, and you're going to argue the same thing you can in the NFL. You know, the players in the old days, you know, they were smoking cigarettes in the freaking locker room. Yeah, it was a different time. But I think at the end of the day, if LeBron was truly the greatest of all time, he would have never lost the finals. Maybe he would have lost one or two. I mean, hell, even Brady had lost the Super Bowl. But we've talked about this time and time again. He's a timeless wonder, and I don't know, man. We'll see when LeBron really finally hangs it up, where he really stands in the grand scheme of things.
Well, I tell you what, it's definitely one of those great conversation pieces. That's for damn sure. And you could sit there and go on and on and on about it. But at the end of the day, I don't care who comes out of this series and wins this series. I'm just telling you now, ain't nobody beating Golden State.
You got a Golden State of mind straight up and down. Now I'm looking at the score right now. And I told Mike tonight, I go, listen, we're going to record. We record on Tuesdays typically, and I said, I got to end it because it's going to be about the second quarter when we disconnect, and I'm going to watch second, third, and fourth. I tell you what, man, even though everybody's talking about Harden's the MVP and this and that, it just like in the NFL, you know, you could sometimes have the MVP that's the best during that season, but to me, you got to really kind of wait till the end and kind of see who carries your team through the playoffs. It's really looking like a collision course for Golden State and the Cavs again. And if Golden State bodies the Cavs again, dude, I mean, I don't know. LeBron may be out of there, maybe heading to L.A. Who knows, man?
I think he's going to Houston.
H-Town? We'll have to see.
I think he's going to Houston, and he's going to team up with the boys over at Houston, and they're finally going to take the damn Golden State down next year. That's just my guess.
Well, one place I could tell you that he's probably not going is Lithuania with LeVar Ball and those freaking social media whores, you know. But I just Googled his name, and it looks like back in April, like, he was LeVar Ball was talking about pulling his sons out of Lithuania. We're not going to waste our time. So, you know, he's always,
who cares?
Yeah, he's like, who cares about that that dude, man? He's a straight social media junkie. So, but the Lightning are still in it. You know, we don't talk a lot about hockey, but my wife has definitely got me hooked. The Penguins, of course, are out. I mentioned that before. And, you know, just really hoping for Tampa Bay. They forced the game 7. Well, I say that. They could have finished it out. They were down 0-2. Then they came back and won 3 straight. Then they lost the game, right, last night. And now they're forcing game 7, which is going to be Wednesday. I'm definitely going to watch that. If you're a sports fan or you just want to see damn good TV, damn good game, you definitely have to watch that Lightning game.
Hell yeah, Matt, props. I'm not the biggest Lightning fan or the biggest hockey fan, but, you know, that's where I was born and raised there in Tampa, so it's good to see those guys being successful. That's for damn sure.
Yes, sir. Last but not least, I am going to see if we have any additional updates for iTunes. And it looks like the last one was Brandon Burrell. Again, Burrell Images. We are going to have him on very soon, as we are with Grant Cox Photography. We also promised last episode we're going to have more content coming soon. So that's being finalized. So looking forward to that. I would remind you, I had missed this, but you can, on your iPhone, through the podcast app, you can scroll down. As you're listening to this episode, scroll down, and I think it's right there where you can click leave a rating, and you just tap 5 stars if that's what you want to leave us, and you can even you can type in a rating. We have 59, I believe, now, and, you know, one of the first ones was the homie I saw last weekend, Acro Rigo. Still a good dude, still kind of repping the scene, and always love seeing him at shows. He's a good dude. So, you know, the last few years, we've got 59. I think we can bust through 100 this year. That should be our goal, and we'll just keep on keeping on, Miggity Mike.
Hell yeah. So, guys, rate and review, because obviously those things are important, and they do help. But at the end of the day, just listen. Just share it on social media, because I see it a lot, and me and Jason talk about this a lot, because it feels so good and it looks good every time somebody goes out there and shares it, and then they start conversations about it, and all the comments start popping up. So really enjoy doing what we're doing, and we appreciate you guys, and we like seeing you guys enjoying it. So it's awesome.
Yes, sir. And before we say our famous closing, definitely want to say sparklesdetail.com. Got to hang out with Tim and the crew last weekend at Made of Steel. It's very important that not only do you go to sparklesdetail.com and order product, when you're at a show, go over, make the deal with them, have them wipe down the car, clean it. I know that even Mike pulled up and said, hey, man, I've been slacking on Mrs. Mayer's car. He did he made a deal with Tim, and they went to town and cleaned that thing beautifully. So, you know, again, not only the Croftgate products, but it's more the service piece. If you're at a show, have them wipe it down. And I would challenge you, use the service at Scraping the Coast. You'll be pleasantly surprised. You get to slap hands with Tim, maybe Tanya as well. And then you get to say, our lifestyle, the podcast. We heard it there. We came over and we supported the clean team that supports the what, Mike?
The scene, baby.
You know how we do, man. So, Mike, any parting words for the Airhead Nation?
Airhead Nation, once again, we want to thank you all for all y'all support and listen. So go rate and review iTunes, and be on the lookout for that video that Jay's going to be busting out here real soon, and going to show you guys how to find the podcast, how to download iTunes, Podbean, all these different ways of finding the podcast. He's going to let you guys know how to do it. And for all you guys that continue to listen and share, and Chris Burns, man, I ain't going to mess up her name, so I'm not even going to mention her name, but, you know, the better half to Ruben, we thank you too. And we haven't forgot about you, girl. But we thank you guys for listening. And, of course, Ruben, man, for all your support, always support, and always supporting the show. And with that being said, man, Airhead Nation.
We out here. Peace out, y'all. Enjoy. Yo, 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 it's ODB with a few more updates for you. Based upon recording earlier in the week, wanted to bring you the latest. So the Lightning lost last night on Wednesday. Their season is done. It was Game 7. Their season is over. 25th season was definitely memorable. I received a text from the Lightning today. I'm on their little distribution, and they said, hey, Lightning fans, you know, thanks for being the Thunder this year. Hopefully we can get back into, you know, the playoffs next year. Playoffs? Golden State, they also lost last night. You heard Mike and I talk when we recorded on Tuesday night. You'll recall I was mentioning, man, I couldn't wait to get you know, off the phone to go out there and watch it. H-Town really put it down last night. They put up a huge fight. It's not over yet. It's 2-2, so we'll see where it lands. I really think Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and the whole crew, they're going to come through. I got a tech update. Did you know that digital license plates are coming? Some of you may have heard this. I cannot even believe it. Who would have ever thunk it? I've been waiting to share the photos until I mentioned it on the podcast. Straight up and down. Craziness. You'll be able to get a digital license plate depending on the state. I believe Arizona already participates. Florida is coming next. Oh, by the way, there's going to be advertising revenue that the state will be able to get from that. Last I saw, $700. Crazy. But it'd be pretty cool to put Our Lifestyle, the podcast, on there. You know what I'm saying? But we'll have to see how much the vanity plates will cost. But we will be sharing that photo, a couple of the photos that I have of the new digital license plates coming, or plates that are coming. Again, last number I heard, $700. Crazy. I thought the $50 or $60 that I was spending today was a lot. Tony Boss Bolin, the homie on Instagram, at Boss Bolin, we're putting together the first annual Tampa JFK cruise. And the Kennedy cruise, as we're going to call it as well, is going to be the weekend of November 17th and 18th. Now, ironically, it was November 18th of 1963, so it was, you know, 4-5 days before he was assassinated. He was in Tampa. Of course, Kennedy was renamed. I think it was December after, so it was like within a month, they renamed one of the roads there, Kennedy Boulevard. It's going to be pretty cool. We've got some interest from Lincoln people all over the state, even from other states. So we're going to put down and we're going to show the whole country and the whole world that, hey, we've got plenty of Lincolns here, suicide door Lincolns, and we're going to have a damn good time. So we're planning that. We're going to do a little cruise. We've got some of the 70s Lincolns that are going to be coming through as well. Homie that we met over at Doing It in the Dark. It's going to be really kick-ass. We're going to do like a lunch deal. We're going to cruise around with the cars, whether it's stock, whether it's laid out, whether it's bagged, what you name it. I believe Chris Dunn from Lincoln Land, as well as Kelly from Old Lincoln Parts, Blair and Teresa from their shop over there. It's going to be really, really cool, and I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, it's going to be the, my math is correct, the 55th anniversary of JFK visiting Tampa. So, you know, we've got some landmarks we want to cruise through, some of the old parade routes when he was here. I think it's going to be good, and hopefully we can get the city of Tampa behind us to support it in terms of you know, taking some photos, maybe get some coverage. But it is presented by Our Lifestyle, the podcast. So you know how we do, man. We're not going to stop. Whether it's mini trucks, Lincoln, C30 Dualies, we come in live and direct. Now, we got a shirt update. Mike and I, you heard us earlier. We talked a little bit about the keychain and the new decal, $10. You can send that over to ourlifestylepodcast@gmail.com via PayPal. Also, make sure that you put your address in the notes. Definitely appreciate that. But on the shirts, you can PayPal $20. We're going to do this one time where it's the shipping's going to be included. So it's going to be $20 shipped. We're going to have a white or a black shirt. So what we would like for you to do is we will be posting when this posts tomorrow, you should be able to go out and look at the visual. You'll be able to see the white and black. You'll PayPal $20. And let us know also in the notes what size shirt you are. So if you're the large, double XL, whatever, in your address. These shirts, we're working with the vendor now. He's well known in the scene. And he's going to come through and we're going to ship them as soon as we get them. As Mike said earlier, we're planning to have these by Scraping the Coast so that we'll have some shirts there to sell for anyone that, you know, wants to get them there. But like I said, it will definitely help us out if you can PayPal $20. That's including shipping. Our lifestyle podcast at Gmail, that's the PayPal account, and we will get those out to you. We're definitely excited about this, and this is the first thing to come. It's going to be, again, white and black shirts, two different ones. It's going to have the new 2.0 logo with OLP underneath it. It'll say Our Lifestyle Podcast, and that's all in that 1986 rad BMX font. So definitely excited. Last but not least, we did one episode a long time ago of this, and I'm going to do another flip through. So we're going to pick up kind of a throwback deal, pick up an old magazine, call out a couple cool things about it. This is brought to you by the homies over at All Time Low Magazine. So go to atlmagazine.com, order an issue. If you're skeptical, it's $9 per issue shipped. Don't be skeptical. Order the subscription. It's great quality. Comes with a pullout poster. You hear Mike and I talk about it. It's real deal Holyfield. Now, if you're following us on Instagram or Facebook, you noticed I posted a ton of photos of December 1995 Truckin' Mag just the other day. This is a famous full-size extended cab. It has on the cover a sticker, the Chop Shop, from Brian Gendro. Sean Mahaney also worked on the truck. So if you read the post that I made, it'll kind of break down who worked on it. Courtney shot it. Most importantly, it has those 18-inch Colorado custom wheels on it. I say most importantly because I think they're cool. But rest in peace, Sean Mahaney. Rest in peace, Courtney Halliwell, who shot it. Truck is epic. When you look at the graphics on it, it really, really has a vibe. I don't know, almost like, to me, almost like a lowrider type feel, man. But, of course, it has that West Coast flair to it. When you flip to the contents, table of contents, it tells you the cover truck. They used to always do this. They had a little circle, and it said cover truck, boom, so you could quickly find what page to flip to. Page 94. What a great year, 94. So you flip to page 94, biggity boom, total chaos. Now, I'd butcher his last name. It's Sal's Truck. It's M-A-R-C-H-E-S-E. And it's a really, really, really cool truck on hydros, bucket seats, no center console. You don't always see that in an extended cab. Very, very cool. Paint job, amazing. The graphics even ran down the middle of the grill, which I loved how the paint job just flowed around. It also went on to the smoothie bumper that had the French license plate. Now, in those days, the magazine, if you can believe this, was not 100% color. So, of course, you had the two-page spread there that was beautiful. And then you go to page 97, and you have the one page opposite of dynamic wheel ad. And even had the little NC. Courtney was able to get that logo kind of thrown in there with the door open. It looks like, I think it had tweed interior. Definitely had a really cool, just clean, old-school feel to it. Also, it is a 1500, but it's also a long bed, which is very cool. So you don't always see those things laid out and built to this caliber. You flip to page 98, and it rounded out the feature. I always read these features. I always enjoyed them. This one, again, from the credits, it was not only written, but it was also shot. It was an indoor studio shoot, and it's amazing. Now, the magazine that I posted with it that accompanies this magazine is a Spring 96, and it was from the editors of Truckin'. And you still see this today. Like, Street Trucks will put out the C10 or the F100 Builder's Guide. And it's kind of like a supplement to either, you know, boost the sales or, you know, help with additional advertising. I think the Builder's Guide is like 2 to 4 times a year. Well, this was the best of Truckin' 1995, the year in review. So on this cover, you had the famous Dodge pickup with the shaved headlights. You had the extended cab truck we talked about, which was kind of those two trucks were the prime real estate on the cover. And then you had NASCAR super trucks, and then you had bikinis on the cover as well. So, you know, I'm not going to cover that magazine, but it was pretty cool for anybody that has any of those. The other thing that I loved about posting this is we had tons and tons of people, tons of comments from OGs. I think I tagged Pete Finland or someone else did. I was looking for hot dog designs, but Pete Finland, he's out there. He's in the comments as well. So you had all these OGs that worked on this truck, and you had people going, man, this really brings back memories. And I'll sometimes comment back and go, dude, that's what our podcast is about. It's really highlighting the scene, highlighting epic trucks, highlighting good people, even non-epic trucks. You know, it's not always about the epicness. The other thing that's crazy is on page 67, you had the coolest thing about this was the rendering. It was the Luminator. And believe it or not, it was a 94 Chevy Lumina. Courtney Halliwell wrote the feature and shot it. And believe it or not, when you see it on the Antero wheels, doesn't look too bad. I mean, it's, you know, not my style. It's green. But not many people could make a Chevy Lumina look good. So you had a two-page spread there in color, and then you flip, and there's two more pages that were non-color. So pretty kick-ass. You had Summer's Best 95, so Syndicate Minis and Compacts goes all out for this first-ever event, shot by Courtney. He also did the write-up, so that was super cool coverage. On page 50, you had Brian McCormick. It was a Phantom Dually extended cab OBS, the 88 to 98 with the topper. It's purple topper. Now, what's really cool about this is very similar seats to the cover truck, except for they swiveled out on some lowrider type shit. Had the wing on the back of the topper. It had the famous taillights. I think it was the ZR1 roll pan. Just, you know, perfect styling for the 90s. Super badass. Of course, again, a classic swivel steel horse seats. They look pretty cool, wrapped in vinyl and raspberry. And, oh, by the way, gray tweed. So, you know, the times have changed. The trucks are a little different. But I tell you, man, like with many things, the whatever's old, you know, is cool again. So I think if you had access to some of these super sick wheels and, you know, some of the shit that's in these ads, man, it would sell like hotcakes. Then lastly, on page 192, you had Ventilated. Sir Michael's Incorporated performs yet another sheet metal masterpiece, and another rest in peace to Sean Carlson. Now, Sean Carlson, if you look up his hashtag, we've hashtagged him many times. It's S-H-A-U-N Carlson, C-A-R-L-S-O-N. Rest in peace to the OG. So there you have it, a quick flip through of December 95. So we're talking 23 years ago almost. It's, again, crazy. It's 18-inch wheels. But you would put, if you had, or if this truck was still around, maybe it is, if it was, you could take it to a show and you would clean house. I mean, we're talking best of, super badass truck. And to everybody that was involved, straight salute from ODB. That's all I got for you. Enjoy this really, really kick-ass interview from Brian Morris. You will not be disappointed. Gotcha.
Oh,
Yo, 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 yo. It's Our Lifestyle, the podcast, episode 65, as you already know. And we got a special guest. It's a homie that I met recently. We're going to get all into it. But you're listening to Haunt Rod, and this is Brian Morris. We want to welcome you, homie, to the podcast.
Well, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, for sure, man. Now, some guys, you know, I've kind of hinted at we're going to have you on. We talked about Instagram. It's at Haunt Rod. So more on that. But can you tell the listeners or maybe share a little bit, Brian, with like who is Brian Morris?
Sure, sure. Well, I grew up in Los Angeles, lived there for about till I was about 28 years old, mm-hmm. moved out to Lake Havasu City, Arizona after that, and then out to New York to pursue a career, and met my wife here, had two kids. We've been married for 10 years, Max and Miles. And now I just I do hot rods. That's what I love most.
Hell yeah. Well, I didn't even realize. I knew from one of the old mini truck photos that we shared, you had that Cali connection. But, dude, like Havasu, you know, there's all kinds of badass shit out there, boats, all kinds of deals. But let me ask you this. Like, when did you get bit by the hot rod, you know, animal, if you will? Because it seems like it's really in your blood.
Oh, sure. And, you know, I've had it ever since I can remember. And when you grow up in Los Angeles, that car culture is – it's 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. I think if I was to give you one turning point, I remember as a kid going to the drag races, the street races that happened like on Peoria in the San Fernando Valley.
Okay.
And this guy brought down an old hot rod that was a Ford Ranchero, would pull it off a trailer and take that thing drag racing. And I remember like it was yesterday, had a license plate that said anti-GM. And I just thought that was the coolest thing ever. You know, everyone had their Chevrolet hot rods, and this guy brought out something that was unique, a Ford Ranchero from the 60s, and would clean house with that thing. And I would have to say that's probably when I really got the bug for hot rods, is seeing that thing. And that's when I was riding my skateboard down there, long before I ever had a car of my own. So those early street races in San Fernando is what I think really got me going.
Yeah, it's amazing how there's like sometimes a defining moment is what I'll call it in our lives that just kind of pulls us in, you know. And it's kind of funny because you mentioned the skateboards and, you know, having met you and you mentioned something about mini trucks. And then I think I was going through your feed and I was like, damn, you know, he really was like it was like the heyday back then. You know, a lot of guys would skateboard, BMX, and then boom, you're in a mini truck.
Yeah. And I think the mini trucks even honed it more, you know. I was in a club called Elite Minis back in the day, and my 1987 Mazda pickup, long before airbags, you know, I butchered that Ford truck with hydraulics. I cut the bed apart, you know, I cut the suspension apart. But certainly that's what even honed some of the skills I have today in building hot rods is those early mini truck days.
Yeah, man. Well, one thing, when we slapped hands, you had, you know, you kind of came down here on a midnight run, you know, picking up some cool stuff. And you kind of mentioned, you know, you don't have to share all the details, but you kind of had told me or led me, you know, onto this adventure that you recently took where you said, you know what, I'm going to leave, you know, kind of a high paying job, a real nice gig that you had to pursue the passion of the hot rods. But, you know, what advice would you have for anyone that maybe is on the fence about making a leap into something that, you know, they truly are passionate about?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I say don't fight it. I had a career. I was in the same industry for about 30 years, but worked for the same company for over 20 years. And every day I had this burn in my belly to build things, build hot rods. I did the best I could do with having that career, but it takes up a ton of time. And decided earlier this year, only about 6 months ago, I left that company and now I do hot rods full time. And it was the best thing I ever did. You know, you can never fight. You just can't fight that passion. And the best advice I can give is if you have it, don't fight it. Do whatever it takes to do that because it makes for an amazing life.
Well, I think you summed it up. There's a guy, and we haven't really shared this guy's story, but there's a big shop in the truck world called Fat Fabs. And yeah. You know, Jake, I talked to him about a year ago, and he's in our club Sever Ties, but he kind of mentioned to me, and I always kind of knew, I thought he had like a day job going, but he was like driving big rigs, I think, and he was doing like these crazy builds on the side. And he finally said, you know, Jay, I got to the point where I didn't need to do it, but I was more passionate about this, and this was what fuels me every day. And boom, he made the leap.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's hard to convey to somebody the satisfaction. You know, money does not replace that satisfaction in your life, and, and you live a much fuller life when you're satisfied that way. And I feel that now. It's a big adjustment, but it is worth it. It's an amazing feeling.
Man, I love it, dude. I love your energy, bro. I really do. Now, when I met you recently, like I said, you were making that run down here. You're always on the hunt, and I wanted to kind of talk about that. But, you know, when you're on the road and you're looking and you're finding this badass shit, you know, what is it about the hunt that seems like, I mean, you're like a hunter out there, dude, but you're not looking for animals. You're looking for these badass rides.
Sure. You know, I think it's something we all have in us. It's that treasure hunt. You know, you never know when you're walking through a barn, when you're walking through a junkyard, what you're going to see when you go around the corner. You never know when you open up Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace, what's going to be the first thing to pop up on that feed. And I think we all are looking for a treasure in our own way. You know, I have what my idea of a treasure is. Somebody else might have something else. It's still the same feeling, though. You know, you really never know. And I think that's what makes even some of these new television shows so popular is we all are excited by a treasure hunt. And that's the way I feel every day when I wake up and get to search for these things.
Man,
I'm also not afraid to hop into the truck and drive 1,000 miles to get that treasure.
Well, it's fucking easier than going to the ocean, right? Because some of these guys get in boats and they're freaking, you know, swan diving off the ship. But, you know, you did sum it up, because if you think about, you know, you've got the Oak Island and they had the Civil War treasure, and then you've got the American Picker guys. So yeah, absolutely. You know, to your point, like life is like almost like a treasure, man. It sounds like Forrest Gump, but you know, seriously, that's pretty dope.
It truly is. And I think, you know, I was a picker before I even knew what that was. American Pickers has opened up that life to the whole world. But that's something that we've all done our whole lives. Even when we were mini truckers looking for those Porsche alloys to go on my early mini truck, you know, or that super shell, because I couldn't afford a new one. You went through the recycler in Los Angeles and tried to find a used one. Yeah. I think it's that treasure hunt and then that satisfaction of achieving it. Once you find it, it's the art of the deal. You know, they want to get the most for it. You want to pay the least for it. And there's a way to go about that. And I think that's also satisfying.
And now the famous words, you know, let's just meet in the middle. You know, we hear that on
absolutely
Gas Monkey and all the shows. It's kind of funny. But
indeed.
Now the homie, one of my good friends, Tony, what I refer to him as Boss Bolin, you know, he's known you for a bit because, you know, as the legend goes, he kind of met you through some of the different groups that you guys are in, whether it be Facebook and whatnot. Now, he showed me, you know, he'd be like, man, check this out. I'm like, man, who is this again? And he goes, no, you're going to get to meet him one day. But, you know, all these different badass rides and kind of some really crazy stuff you've built. But can you give us an idea of how you got involved? You know, you kind of mentioned the hot rod piece, but like my thing is, you, like me, I grew up and my dad was never like wrenching on stuff and things like that. And you kind of gave us the one story there. But like when you start cutting into trucks or like laying out a school bus, you know, that's not just for any amateur. So, like, what's the tie-in there? Like, when did you really start? Was it the mini truck that you mentioned that you were cutting on?
Yeah, and, you know, I had a good friend of mine, Wade Gatlin, still one of my best friends today. He and I were never afraid to tackle it, you know, and we would always look at something and say, if this needs to go here, why don't we put it here? And whether it took a torch, whether it took welding, whatever it took, I think him and I were kind of blessed with that vision. I could see it before I built it. And so when you start to put it together, it didn't always happen the first time. And there was many times I'd get 3/4 through the way of a project. I'd hate it. We would start over. We'd cut everything apart and we would start over again because that vision had to be achieved. You know, we weren't doing it just to do it. We were doing it because we had this vision in mind and that's what we were shooting for. So I give him a lot of credit, he and I were never afraid to tackle those big projects. And so when I decided to do this full time, it was easy. You know, I always said, if you want to do it, just do it. You know, there's no use standing around looking at it. Just dig into it and you'll get it figured out.
Hells yeah, man. I love it, dude. Well, I tell you, man, we don't all have the guts and the glory to do these kind of things, but I've got nothing but, you know, love for you know, the people of the scene that can do it. The guy that built my truck, you know, he can weld. They build the frames. You do all that stuff. And it is just amazing that with an app like Instagram or Facebook, you can meet people from other parts of the country and see and share the passion. So it's very cool, man.
Yeah, incredible. And, you know, I think it's amazing when you do finally meet somebody like Tony, and him and I had corresponded for years through Facebook and through Instagram, but you meet him and it's like you've known him forever.
Yep.
You know, you share that same passion. And, you know, when I was a kid, you would meet that guy at the local cruise night, or you'd meet him down at San Fernando Boulevard when you were going on a cruise. Now there's people all over the world that you meet that share that same passion. And I think it's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah. When you pulled up, Tony goes, man, you know, the homie Brian's going to be here soon. Pulls up, you got your, you know, your dually, you got your big trailer, real nice rig, and then you, man, you're like, dude, I'm heading here, I got to get it to Miami, I'm getting this, that. I love the passion and stuff, dude. It's in your blood. Like I said, we can see it.
Yeah, and it's like not going to work at all. It's amazing. I'm very fortunate.
Hells yeah. Now, how did the early, you know, we talked, and you did a great tie-in with the mini trucks, but how would you say, like, the mini truck days really inspired? So, you know, you mentioned the hydraulics and things like that, but were you, like me, you're in middle school, high school, you see a mini truck, you fall in love, and that, other than the other story you told, was that, like, really what you thought propelled you into this, like, lifelong addiction?
Oh, no doubt about it. And, you know, also the people that you hang out with, when you share that addiction, it's all you think about. Yep. You know, we drag raced. We did a lot of boat racing. My buddy Wade, I mentioned, he was a professional drag racer. And so we took boat racing, and that every part of that was what kept me going in it every day. You know, it's what we thought about every minute of the day, him and I both growing up. So we were always thinking about that next thing. How are we going to make the boat faster? How are we going to make our trucks lower? You know, again, long before air ride, it was hydraulics. So we've had them all, from 64 Impalas to the mini trucks, to tubbed cars, to boat racing. Just something deep inside.
Yeah, and it's just like metal, and it's a welder, and it's cutting, and it's just making it badass. So
indeed. And I think there's also that satisfaction of taking raw metal and turning it into something functional. You know, and even some car furniture that I've built, couches out of the tail of a car, or I built my son's bed out of a 56 F-100. It looks like it's backing out of garage in his room. And just to create those things out of something else is very satisfying.
Dude, man, definitely love it. And, you know, again, for you guys heard me say it earlier in the episode, it's at Haunt Rod, HauntRod. Now, Brian, you talked, there's a vehicle that I was really kind of first turned on to when Tony goes, man, check this out. And that's what I was like, whoa, my eyes lit up. And it's a now famous rig called Jailbus. You know, if for those out there, you know, look up the hashtag Jailbus altogether. Can you tell us about that epic project?
Sure. And I think that is a story that kind of sums up every part of what I've been telling you. Is I open up Facebook one day, and there it is in Kansas, this bus. And the minute I saw it, I just knew I had a vision in my mind of what I wanted it to look like. It became mine. I called the guy up. We made a deal. I drove out there and picked it up. I brought it home, and I started cutting it apart, just like I was saying. You know, I jacked it up. I cut the front clip out of it. I put a C30 front clip in of it out of a one-ton dually. I put a Dana 60 rear end with a four link in it and some 22 fives on it. And the minute I set it on the ground, that was it. You know, the aha moment, everything you pictured in your mind after months and months of work, you put it on the ground and there it is. And, I loved that bus, but somebody in Great Britain loved it just a little more than me. And so that's where she lives now. But that is one of my most favorite projects I've ever done in my life. I had a lot of fun building it. And again, bringing that vision to life is the satisfaction.
Dude, that's so sick. I remember zooming in on the photo. I'm trying to think, was it an old prison bus, or was that just the folklore?
No, that was something that I turned it into. And I,
gotcha.
You know, everybody had done a school bus. I had seen those before. I had seen the church bus. But that, again, the minute I saw it, it just had that look, the patina on it. I grew up in Los Angeles, and so I branded it as the LA County Jail bus.
Yes,
so I painted
right.
the logos on it, and it just everything fit. You know, it all came together. And, you know, I think sometimes you see something and you're not really sure what it's going to be, and it just clicks to you one day. And all of that just all came together, and that's what she ended up being, the jail bus.
Hell yeah. Well, if that was around when Snoop Dogg was filming the Murder Was the Case video, he would have looked a lot better on that one, you know, shackled from head to toe. But yeah,
no doubt about it.
Straight up, dude, I love the tie-in to the L.A., like kind of where you're from. And, dude,
absolutely.
It's epic. And the great thing about the podcast is, you know, you're hearing Brian, and we're talking about the story. But, Brian, we also, as you know, we'll go and share those photos. And then, you know, like you've got a big cult following of people that love your builds. I went out there and I was looking at that famous trailer you told me a little bit about. And I saw the photo before. And I was even seeing like other people that had tagged the homie at C10 Talk, Ronnie Wetch. And, you know, they yes. were kind of going back and forth. But I wasn't going to mention, but I do want to bring up that big mammoth, I think it was yellow, that trailer. Can you give us any insight into, like, what the hell is that thing? Because that thing is a beast, man.
Sure, sure. So that is a 1950s car hauler that I bought out of an auction in Ohio. That trailer originally moved Kaiser cars from the factory to the Kaiser dealer in Ohio.
Wow.
There are so few of them. You know, and back in the 50s, it wasn't guys like me that had four-car trailers that went around and picked stuff up. It was only the dealers that had them. And I had a vision in my mind of having one of those one day. And when that one came up for auction, I wasn't going to let it get passed. So actually, as we speak, there's a guy bringing me a 60s Ford semi truck down from New Hampshire right now that is going to go in front of that trailer. And I'm going to load it up with some old cars and hit the car show circuit here this summer. So if you do check out Hot Rod on Instagram, you'll see some cool photos of that old trailer with that old truck and loaded up with some old cars on it hitting the circuit this summer.
One of the things that I really enjoy about, you know, talking with you, Brian, is, you know, there's a lot of guys out there, and this is no disrespect to them, but, you know, a lot of people, you know, they go to sleep at night and they have dreams and they wake up and they kind of pretend sometimes they're going to do stuff. And, you know, on the podcast, you know, my dad, my late father would always say, you know, not in these words, but he would kind of, you know, he had the vision, like, you know, don't talk about it, you know, like do it, like be about it. Right. So,
yeah.
You know, for you, it's like you kind of come across all these cool things, but you are a guy that still makes shit happen. Like, you know, maybe you'll sell it to the homie. Like if you don't have time for it, then the homie will build it or you'll build it for him. But it's like, yes. None of your stuff doesn't seem to go so dormant that you're just some junk collector. You're literally making shit happen.
Well, my dad used to say something very similar. He'd say, lots of people are going to talk about it. If you want to be different, you should do it.
Boom.
And I will make deals with some guys sometimes telling them, I may not be the one to bring it back to life, but I'm going to put it in the hands that will bring it back to life. This thing I get from you will never go to a junkyard, and it will never sit in a backyard and rot away. Whatever I do with it, if it's not me, it'll be somebody else, and we'll get this car back into circulation or this trailer back into circulation. Shoot, I think that's all of our jobs, right, is to keep that culture alive.
Dude, man, right there, I'm telling you, bro, you got to write a book one day, man, because literally I could see you like at the LA Roadster show or, you know, I mean, literally doing seminars, dude, because you got me pumped right now, Brian. I mean that, bro. So,
well, I'm lucky, you know, and I think when you're healthy enough to do it, shame on you if you don't. I think my dad steered me and probably taught me all of the things I needed to know to do this sort of thing. And when you're healthy enough to do it, you should do it. I mean, we only go around one time, brother, and I certainly don't want to regret anything I've done.
Dude, I mean, those are words to live by from the homie Brian Morris. So, you know, good stuff. Now, again, it's at Haunt Rod, HauntRod. Check out the badass vehicles. Now, let me ask you this, right? So you make this career change, and, you know, you've got all these rides, and, you know, we're just like the casual viewer out there. Like, we're, you know, we're seeing these rides, and it's like, boom, the bus is done. And we're like, you know, we don't see that it took you, you know, a couple months to do such and such. But how do you balance all that? I mean, you've got the two kids, you've got the awesome wife. what's a normal day? Do you wake up like super early and work on stuff, and then you got to stop to go to like the baseball practice?
I do, yeah. And I think a normal day for me, I'm definitely an early riser. And I think you should take advantage of every minute that's available to work. You should take advantage of it. But I also don't miss out on those things. I pick my kids up from school every day, and I go to every single baseball game. Sometimes the trade-off is working till 8 o'clock that night, but I would happily make that trade to do those. Now, an awesome wife doesn't even begin to sum it up, because if you don't have one of those, they don't get this passion that you have that just burns in your belly every day to build these things. So her name is Jill. She's amazing. Without her, you couldn't do it. And it's especially tough to explain to them after a career of 25 years that you're going to take no paycheck anymore and buy all this junk and bring it home and try to make a living. She never even hesitated for one second. She said, if that's what you want to do, I'm 100% behind you. And without that, I'm not sure where I'd be. She's amazing.
Well, if Jill ends up listening, huge, huge fist bump to Jill, because I tell you, you told me a little bit kind of when I met you about the story, and you kind of said, hey, this was my deal. This is kind of what I was working on, you know, as far as my career. And I called her one day, and you kind of just said, hey, man, I just want to come home. I'm ready. And she, you know what? Instead of her going, well, I don't know, she just said, come on home. Boom.
She did.
You know?
Yep.
And that was good. But not to get into too much detail, but in terms of, I thought it was a pretty cool gig that you had. You like set up, can you tell us a little bit, like you set up the tracks, like where the people go and watch the horse shows and the people jump the horses. That was kind of a cool thing though, probably for a long time.
Oh, it sure was. And I think when I started out, it was me and a couple of my best buddies that did it. We traveled the whole country and we did hunter jumper style horse shows where the horses jump over the fences.
Nice.
So we set up the tracks that the horses jump over, and slowly that turned into a career for me. And I worked for a company for about 25 years. And ended up running those horse shows. And it was amazing. And I think during that stretch of time, I wouldn't trade anything for that.
Sure.
I think my family was a big reason that I made a move to spend a little more time at home. That job is a huge traveling job where you could spend months at a time away from your kids. So as my kids got a little bit older, I realized I need to spend some more time with them. So amazing. Between that and that burn to build hot rods, that made it an easy choice.
Yeah, man, it's kind of like the baseball and football players, you know, they play, you know, 15, 20 years, and then they kind of go, you know, I'm ready to go, you know, I'm ready to kind of get home, and then, you know, the fans are screaming, going, no, no, we need you, you know, but, you know, sometimes it kind of comes down to, like, the football players go, you know, I'm not sacrificing my body for another 20 years for money I don't need, you know, some of them.
But for
you, you know, you were like, look, I'm not sacrificing my time anymore to something that, hey, could be a great paying job. But I got my passion, this fire's burning over here, and I'm out here. You know what I mean?
Sure. And I think everything, life is all about balance, you know, and if you could find that good balance, to me, the balance had shifted away from hot rods and family and more towards that career. And when that happened, it was time to change that balance. So I made the change, and I don't regret a thing. It's been amazing so far.
Another thing I like about you, Brian, there's always a rhyme to the reason, man. So
yes, indeed.
That's what life's about. Now,
you know, I think another thing that people don't realize is, you know, I've had a couple of kids that have come help me out build hot rods, and they see these shows on TV and think it's glamorous. But after the third or fourth day of me handing them a grinder and telling them to grind rivets out of some panels, all of a sudden building hot rods isn't near as glamorous as they thought.
Yeah, there's not a Richard Rawlings in every little town going, hey,
exactly.
Beer assistant, throw me a beer. It's like, we can't drink beer working on stuff, because after like 10 beers, we're like, you've really got a Z'd frame, right?
You know? That's right. And it takes a lot of cutting to get that old stuff out. And, you know, grinding rivets off of a C30 frame is no fun. But it's what you have to do. It's all part of it. You know, it's not all glamorous, that's for sure. But to me, the end result is worth all of that pain.
Hells yeah. So I was doing a little bit more of my recon today, and I'm like, you know, I'm going to take one last look, and I'm going through Haunt Rod on Insta, and, you know, I'm seeing, you know, tons of different stuff. I mean, just like, man, my mind is like just like flowing, you know, different rides and whatnot. You've also kind of did a little bit of work with the campers, and these things are gaining like a huge in popularity. Can you talk about that?
Sure. I think in this new age of hot rods that has opened up our whole world, you know, when I was a kid, if you went to the local cruise night, you were lucky to get one little picture in the corner of a hot rod magazine where they misspelled your name and didn't say a thing about your truck.
Yep, yep.
And now, you know, it's gone so worldwide, you need something that makes you unique. I have always liked those odd things. And, you know, like my dad said, a lot of people will talk about bagging a camper, but you got to do it if you want to be different. And so that's what I did. You know, I built a little camper to go behind my Econoline, which is my Econoline's my baby. Some cars come and some cars go,
that
but I have
stays.
An Econoline that's called the box and she's my girl. And part of the reason that one is my baby is because the three guys I built it with for 1 year, we spent every day in the garage together. You know, we wanted to punch each other in the face. We wanted to hug. We wanted to dance when our certain song came on. But we all had this same vision in mind. And as much as I love the van, what I think most about when I drive it is all of the trials and tribulations we went through to build it. It was a challenging, challenging build to get kind of that little COE with an independent front suspension. It was a challenging build, but we got through it. I built a camper for that basically from scratch. You know, I took an old camper frame, I cut out some sides to it, and I built a little camper called the Slammed Ham. And I took that on a tour really all across the country, out to Pomona. I took it on the Hot
Damn.
Rod Power Tour in 2017. I drove from Phoenix or from Chicago down to Memphis with it on the Hot Rod Power Tour. One of the most amazing times of my life. Yeah, but I think those unique things are what you need to do these days to make you stand out. You know, we've seen the Camaros for all of our life. We've seen the Novas all our life. But when I pull in with a 66 Ford Econoline and a little canned ham trailer that both slam on the ground, that catches everybody's eye, whether you're a car guy or not. You know, everybody is drawn to that. And so I think those are the things you need to do to be unique.
Dude, I love it. And, you know, you're a guy, right? There's 300 some odd million Americans and you know, a lot of us think we know what's cool. You know, we'll put something out, and it's like, you know, you don't get a crowd around it. But you seem to kind of have like a formula. And again, it's not saying that everybody likes what you do because people hate that we cut up Lincolns or whatever. But,
sure.
You know, when you look at something and it's you know, rusty and crusty or whatever, like, you know, what's your formula other than just thinking something's cool? Like, do you have a particular thing that you go through, like you're like, okay, look, if this thing is really, really rusted out, I'm not going to go for it, or maybe I will and I'll cut the floor out.
Sure. No, and I'm not afraid to do anything to it, to cut the floor out, to leave it like it is even. I think something that I really, it really is deep inside of me from my Los Angeles days is the low riding culture. I slam everything, you know, and some people like it, some people don't, but still everybody is drawn to it, whether they're wondering how it was done or they think it looks cool or they think it looks stupid.
Yeah.
They're all drawn to it.
They're still talking about it.
They're all drawn to it for some reason, you know, and at the last car show I took my little van to, I parked next to a guy, probably had a $200,000 Mustang. At the end of the day, he said, man, I should have bought an Econoline. And I said, really? I said, that has nothing to do with it. It's just that there are so few of these out there. This is just an eye catcher. And I said, most people equate the Econoline to the Maytag guy or their grandfather took them for a ride when they were kids. It's all about memories more than it is about your nut and bolt restoration that you did. And I said, what you did is amazing compared to what I did. But people want to think about – everybody's nostalgic and they want to think about the good old days. And people think of those things when they see this van. And I think that's what draws them to it.
I couldn't have summed it up any better. Over the years, we built, you know, the last Mini Truck Magazine, Mini Truck of the Year. My buddy built the truck, and, you know, I still own it, Brian. It's got every nut and bolt, and love the truck, love what Jimmy's Rod and Customs did. But, you know, to your point, it's something different about being able to have something and really feel like you can get in and drive it. And it's not that the truck couldn't be driven, but you know how it is. Like, if you build something so nice, you're like, man, I don't know. Like, I got to wax it. I got to polish this. You know, But to me, I think over the next, you know, 10, 15 years, we're going to continue to see, like, even stuff that doesn't even seem cool to us right now. Like, you could think of the Griswolds, right?
Sure.
Their wagon was, you know, kind of ugly for the most part, but I've seen a couple laid out, and they're
yes.
totally amazing. But, like, I'm wondering if when our kids get older, if they're going to go, you know, I do want that 88 Cavalier.
That's interesting. You know, I had a kid come to my house a few days ago, and he said, man, look at this. I got an old car like you. And he, he's got like a 1988 Camaro. And I came inside, I called my dad. I'm like, Dad, I must be getting old. This kid says he's got an 88 Camaro. And he said, well, think about it. When you were in high school, you wanted the 68 Camaro. And he said, at that time, you know, it was only 15 or 20 years old. This kid has the same thing. That passion is no different. I said, well, yeah, there's certainly something different between the 88 and the 68, no matter what you say.
Right, right.
But not to that kid. It's not, you know, yeah. I think. And so he has that same feeling about it. And I have a feeling I better start learning about electric cars. so I can build electric hot rods with my kids.
That's what we always joke about. And I'm a huge hip hop fan, but unfortunately, I guess, you know, they say don't ever judge a book by its cover. I don't listen to a lot of the newer hip hop, but like the kids that are, you know, like when we were in middle school, like, you know, you may have listened to, you know, whoever it was, and that's nostalgic for you. Well, these sure. kids in 15 years are going to be like, dude, like Little Zany or whatever the hell their names are.
It's
like,
hear
that's
you.
Nostalgic to them. So it is hard for me to wrap my mind, because when I was in middle school and really kind of going into high school, my dad was like, what the fuck is the Wu-Tang Clan?
Exactly.
But it's like for us, I mean, at least for me, like that's like me. That's like, I love this shit. But so it is weird how the generations, and I think my dad even said growing up, his dad didn't understand because he had like the crew cut haircut, you know, like Marine type deal. And his dad didn't understand why the hippies wanted to have long hair, you know? So it is sure. crazy how things go.
And for me, it was Eazy-E and 2 Live Crew.
Yes.
My dad thought that was insanity,
yeah.
right? But now I listen to it and it brings back those great memories of what I was doing with my friends the first time I heard it. Or when we were cruising Van Nuys Boulevard and pumping that music through our mini trucks.
Oh,
you know, those
yeah.
are the kind that bring back the great memories.
It is crazy. So we can only hope and pray for our young ones that when they get older, they'll go, you know, my dad did have it right, having this, you know, 68 or 78, whatever, you know.
I hope so.
You gave us a little insight to the jail bus, how it ended up over the pond. Have any of your other rides, like, ended up anywhere, you know, that you wanted to mention? Because it seems like you do have people that will say, dude, like, you're building it, and they go, I want it. You call me, I'm buying it. Is that the way some of the builds go?
It sure does. And what will happen is, again, I think with the with Instagram and Facebook, people see them as they're happening, and they want to own them. I had a 1956 Cadillac camper. It was a camper that was
wow.
built by a company out in Los Angeles who would take the old hearses, they would cut the back off them, and they would build a camper on them. And I got about three quarters of the way through that thing, and a guy in Germany fell in love with it. And so we shipped that over on a boat to Germany, and I still hear from him now. He loves it. So I've created that connection over across the pond, or that following over there, where every once in a while I'll get a call when I'm building something and say, you know, I want first chance when you're done. And off it goes.
Hells yeah, man. That's so cool. There's a guy in South Florida, Wonky Build. And Wonky has built some really cool stuff, I guess pun intended, his little shop that he's got a couple guys that help him, but he almost has gotten to the same, you know, he'll find some truck that's been in a field for, you know, 50 years, and then they'll build a frame and do these things, and he has a big cult following where people are like, they call him and they go, okay, when this one's ready, I want it, you know, so it
yeah.
is pretty cool because, you know, that's how you make your niche.
Sure, sure. Yep, and those guys are so envious of our car culture here. You know, something that we take for granted here. They love that American car culture. So there's a couple guys that I deal with over there who are constantly looking for cars. He'll send me lists, you know, of the cars that he wants from over here. Everything from a Model A Roadster to a mini truck. I mean, and a COE. They love them all over there. They're very jealous of our car culture.
Yeah, man. Well, it's like you said, it's one of those things where we don't realize sometimes how fortunate. I've seen, I think, on the Meguiar's car show where in New Zealand they'll have parades that, I mean, I honestly, Brian, I thought from the video that it looked like they were in America, but they
yeah.
kind of envy the American way in terms of the vehicles and stuff, and that's always been a cool thing.
Yeah, indeed. Yes, sir.
Now, I know, you know, you're a busy guy. You know, you've got juggling the family and the business and that type of thing. But, you know, with a ton going on, you've got a lot of killer stuff upcoming. Was there anything else that you wanted to kind of share? Any hints at anything that's coming? Or you kind of keep a lot close to the vest, I know.
No, I don't mind. You know, and I like to share them as I'm building them. You know, I try and keep everybody interested that way. And right now I've got my next truck is going to be kind of like a miniature semi. I got a 1945 Rio truck that I'm going to put a Duramax in and make it look like a little semi. Run some stacks on it, a fifth wheel hitch, and probably something I'll pull a two-car trailer with around. So that's just about to roll into the shop. I have a station wagon that I just finished up that's heading out to California, a 60 Brookwood. And nice. That this next truck will go into the shop, and that's my next build. I'm looking forward to getting started.
Dude, that's so awesome, man. I mean, I wish you nothing but success, and I hope, man, you know, we've seen some very cool TV shows on out there, and I don't know if that's something that you'd ever entertain, but, I mean, you really, really, really are tied in, doing some cool stuff, doing a lot of hands-on. I did want to ask, last question, you know, was in reference to the hands-on piece of it. Do you have a couple guys that help, or are you doing the majority of the stuff?
I do most everything myself. When I do get help, it is to do those things, the cutting and, you know, the moving of the heavy parts. But I'm basically a one-man operation. Everything from I do all my own interior work. I put all the engines together. I do all my own suspension work. So I feel like I can do everything on a car from front to back, from the wiring to the interior to the suspension. So I'm sitting next to my sewing machine right now, maybe getting ready to sew some pleats as soon as you and I hang up.
That's so sick. Well,
yes.
The 1945, the Rio truck with the Duramax, I mean, that has a lot of the wiring and stuff with it, but you just, like you said, you're just kind of doing it all.
Yeah, and you know, for that one, I send that wiring harness out to a guy who will send it back to you, so it's power and ground, you know.
Nice.
And the all of those things that have happened over the past few years, you know, forever I was a small block guy, and now all of a sudden what you can put in a truck with the technology out there is amazing. So this would be one of my first Duramax transplants, but I'm looking forward to it. I think it's be a cool truck.
Yeah, and that's another good thing with social media. You can find guys that are, you know, as Jay Leno recently said about one of the Lincoln guys, John Cashman, you find a guy that's like the guy, and if he's the wiring guy, then by all means, let him do that. Like you said, you plug your stuff in, do your power and ground, and life is good. So
Sure.
That's great, man. Well, you know, Brian, it's always a pleasure talking with you with the few times I've had an opportunity. If there's anything else you wanted to share, feel free. But, man, we appreciate your time, homie.
Hey, I sure appreciate what you do for the culture, buddy. Thanks for having me on. And anything I can do for you, you reach out to me.
Yeah, you got my number. And if you have any cool photos, and I saved your number as well, text them over. Anything you want us to share, we're going to be posting this one tomorrow on Friday. And we just hope that you have an awesome Memorial Day weekend, homie.
You too, my friend. Thank you very much.
We out here.
When I rise, I open up my eyes, thinking about the prize, the days I survive. I roam the zones where they locs up. Mr. Pride be my name and the hood's going nuts. Ducking from the hot shells every way I turn. Trying to fight the fires, but I'm still getting burned. Pressing on my luck as the smoke rises up. Getting cramped from the 40 OZ in my guts. Try to straighten clean, but they keep playing hating me. Had to be a G just to live life easily. Hate for my crimes and I'm coping. But living in the hood understood leaves a brother wide open. Trying to make a way to another day. I fight the feeling, but all I seem to see is cap killing. I thought I could repent and you'd say, but look at what you gave me. I feel I'm 10 seconds from a grave. I know it's strife. I tried to run away from my life. I feel the strife. Reality can cut like a knife. I'm in the hood and all I wanna do is maintain. Going the same. The hood got me feeling the pain. I know it's strife. I tried to run away from my life. I feel the strife. Reality can cut like a knife. I'm in the hood and all I wanna do is maintain. Going the same. The hood got me feeling the pain. Let me take a step back, let you know how it was. Never did I gang bang like the blood or the cuz. I was a hustler, living for the PAY. And I was breaking other brothers cause I had to survive. Pulling jack moves, shooting craps, pool slanging cabby. Rolling back streets in my 86 caddy. Hookers on my side and nobody defied. Because they knew a nigga tripped and a nigga was fried.
stop and conversate, help my hood homies, until one of my homies pulled a 9 mil on me.
He aching in vain cause I was generous.
He made me have to do him and treat him like I never even knew him. Now I'm on the run, I'm from your hood to the next hood, losing my grips and getting shot on my chips. I put it down,
but the hood took me under like 8 cents.
I feel I'm 10 seconds from a cell or a death. I know it's trife, I tried to run away from my life. I feel the strife, reality can cut like a knife. I'm in the hood, and all I wanna do is maintain, going insane. The hood got me feeling the pain. I know it's trite, I try to run away from my life. I feel the strife, reality can cut like a knife. I'm in the hood, and all I wanna do is maintain, going insane. The hood got me feeling the pain. Soon they caught me, I did my time, now I'm back chilling. It's been a grip of years, but I got the same feeling. The hood never changed, all I'm seeing is lopes on the corners, khaki sagging, looking evil at folks. I thought they knew the situation, but it's twisted. They wanna get ill and test my heart, but I shouldn't deal with it. I'm not a buster, cause I'm smarter than that now.
If murder was the case, the smokers act like the dog pound now.
What should I do? I reside and keep pride. Denied what he tried and prevented a homicide.
Right.
But every day it's getting deeper. It seems they wanna put a brother in a sleeper.
Trying to weather that storm, cause getting wet ain't the object. I'm not the one for running, but I'm getting a complex.
The hood is my home, and I'm a roam. If this life is what you gave me, I'm living 10 seconds from the grave.
I know it's strife, I tried to run away from my life. I feel the strife, reality can cut like a knife. I'm in the hood, and all I wanna do is maintain, going insane. The hood got me feeling the pain. I know it's trite, I try to run away from my life. I feel the strife, reality can cut like a knife. I'm in the hood, and all I wanna do is maintain, going insane. The hood got me feeling the pain. I know it's trite, I try to run away from my life. I feel the strife, reality can cut like a knife. I'm in the hood, and all I wanna do is maintain, going insane. The hood got me